Welcome to this message brought to you by LiveToHonorGod.com. We're here today talking about quietness and rest and how we can honor God in that. And TJ has a verse that he'd like to share and then a little comment, I'm sure.
Sure. Well, we have Isaiah 30, chapter 30, verse 15, and it says, it states, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength." So I think I came up on that. You know, we had talked about much earlier. The topic for today would be, you know, quietness, and we had visited about that. But even before that, I had this verse had jumped out at me a couple weeks prior to that, and it made me think about the time when you were sharing your seminary weekend satellite classes that you would go to. I think I hope that describes it right. The satellite classes that you attended, and when I read this verse, I had really, that came to my mind, you know, about the quietness and the things, the discipline that you were required to do, and I haven't had an opportunity to do that yet, though. I want to, you know, do a whole day. Was it a day that you did, or how long was your experience?
Well, let me tell you the story. Actually, I put this on a post, like I told you. Early on, but what happened was that it was a month-long period of time at the seminary, and we were there all day long. We stayed in the dorms for a whole month, and I was doing the summer course of study program, they called it, and the very first day of class, which class ran 8 to 5, or 8 to 3:30, 8 to 4, forget exactly, but the very first day of class, at the end of the day, the professors challenged us, all of us new people in the program, to spend the rest of the evening and until the class started at 8 o'clock in the morning in silence as a discipline devoted to God, or dedicated, that time dedicated to God. And so some of them, I don't think, were as serious about it as I was, just because, sure. I don't know if they didn't think they could or what, but I was ripe for that kind of, I wanted that. It struck a chord with me to try to get everything I could out of my relationship with God at the time. And so I ate it up, and I just really was determined to do it.
Sure.
And so, and some of the guys who had been there, these were all pastors, of course, and some of the pastors who had been there the previous years, it was a 5-year program, a year for 5 years. And some of the guys who had been there the previous years and had known that that's what they did in this first day of class, they took it upon themselves to try to keep us from keeping that vow by trying to trick us into saying stuff, you know, just jokingly around or
so
whatever.
So as determined as you were to do it, they were just as determined to derail you.
Right. And so, but that's good, because that's the way Satan is. He's determined to derail us from God's plan and purpose.
Sure.
And so anyway, it was good, and I was successful all evening. But you know, you think 3:30, I think, is about what time we got out, until bedtime is several hours. It doesn't sound like that much, but I'm a talker, and I spend a lot of time in busyness, activity, music going or something, you know, singing or whatever. And so what happened was, throughout this evening, afternoon and evening, there were several times when God, decided to devote that time to prayer, Bible study, you know, meditation, whatever, writing in my journal, and because I wasn't able to talk with anyone, so it just made sense. And so,
sure.
So God began revealing some things to me, some truths, and exciting things to me.
Wow.
And several times I caught myself wanting to go share that with someone,
right?
You know, and then realizing, oh, I can't, you know,
sure.
Maybe I could write a note, but I couldn't talk to him. So one of those times, it was like the second or third time that happened to me, that I wanted to go talk with someone. It occurred to me that God was showing me that I had spent my whole life going and talking to other people when I could have been talking to God, you know, and it was like the light over a cartoon character's head that, you know, blinks on, and all of a sudden you realize, duh, I need to be talking to God about this revelation, about this thing, you know, praising God and thanking God. And
sure.
And how come we don't, this is what I was thinking about myself, how come I don't go to God very first thing when things happen exciting? But rather, I don't even think about praying about it or praising God or whatever sometimes. Now, I do now, I have to say. That was one of the turning points for me. But at the time, I didn't even think about it. I would go and try to tell my wife or, you know, a friend or something, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But I was leaving God out of the equation a lot of times and giving him, you know, this certain amount of time, but what about the whole day long, you know?
Sure.
So anyway, that was the revelation for me. And there were several, but that was the one that I remember off the top of my head that was very life-changing, because it changed my whole way of thinking about my relationship with God. And so I remember that frequently and try to do that now, to go directly to God whenever I have a thought or a concern or an excitement, you know, things that are going good. But what I realize is that when I am more intimate with God, then that happens more naturally, that I just turn to God immediately. But when I find myself in temptation or sin or whatever, or just not as intimate as I should be or could be, then I end up turning to man or people more than I end up turning to God for those opportunities to share something exciting. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I think that was, that silence brought that out in me. And so I think that this relates well to the verse that you're talking about, because, you know, in the quiet was where I found this and the rest and the revelation from God came through this silence. And silence is hard for me. I don't do silence well. So that was a good opportunity for God to teach me something.
Sure. Yeah, it sounds like it's one of those memorable, meaningful moments that you know, we have when God just, if you can just use, you know, the youth pastor term, sort of drops a bomb on you.
Right.
You know, spiritually and relationally, it's just like an explosion and an illumination. And that's always a wonderful experience. That's something probably that's just resonates with you that you're not ever going to forget.
I mean,
it's just with you.
And
it's one of those things that, I guess it really cements or concretes, you know, that truth, you know, into your person, your being, really, right? So I think that's great, and I think that really does grab the essence, you know, of the verse, or you know, the essence of the idea and the concept of you know, quietness and trust. You know, and resting, and you had to go through that. You know, I think too of there's an old spiritual, a real old song that attended this one church, and actually a youth pastor there for a couple years. And you know, I wasn't just the hugest hymnal person, but at this time I came to really have a new appreciation for hymnals, and they did them a little different. It was a very interesting situation. Because they went about doing the hymns a little different. They would re-tempo them and different things. And so this was something that I hadn't been accustomed to, really. But the end, at any rate, the end of that was that I gained a new appreciation for a lot of older songs, and there was this one song that they would always do that would, it would almost make me end up crying when before the song was over. It was just so powerful. I don't know if some of your listeners may know the song. You may know the song. It's Blessed Quietness. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
Well, they changed it. The way they did it at this church was, like I'm saying, was different, right?
Mm-hmm.
It sort of had a, you know, a real gospel sound and feel to it. It was sort of soulish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On the piano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it wasn't played at the normal tempo, but at any rate, the words were still the same as it was found in the hymnal. But by the time the pastor finished with that, I would just be in tears nearly, you know.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and I still remember, and this has been years ago now, not like we're talking all the way back to 95, and but I can still hear, you know, some of the words, you know, he speaks sweet peace to me like a river in my soul, you know.
Yeah.
And God speaks sweet peace to us like a river in our soul. Blessed quietness, holy quietness. You know, and so there's just something about this this concept that we're talking about, that when we come into this place of blessed quietness, it's holy quietness. It's almost as if the song and the verse in Isaiah and this experience that you had in your summer class, it's to me, you know, thinking about it here with you, it's almost like these are this is like a sacred nearly thing that we enter into. Some kind of sanctuary or sanctum where we really get into the presence of God.
Yeah.
And what I'm getting out of your experience thinking about the hymn, quietness is really like the platform that makes this type of experience possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so without the platform of the quietness and the resting, because you can't just get on the platform of quietness and be dancing and you know, everything else. It's talking, we're talking about quietness and rest. It's almost becomes a sanctuary where we experience more of the presence of God, I think.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why in our world people don't practice this exercise anymore. Because if we stop and are totally quiet and totally at rest, we're just not comfortable with that. Because at that point, you have to almost be at home and comfortable with yourself, maybe, too.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a fear that I think a lot of people, that would resonate with a lot of people, you know, is that, man, if it's just totally quiet and I just am still and rest, you know, maybe they're going to see them. You know, we have to begin to live with ourselves sort of in that.
Right.
And that's what makes it powerful and meaningful, that God is able to then come in to ourself and begin to speak things to us.
I think you're right, and I think you're onto something too, because I know in my life, like I said, I'm a music person. I like music going all the time, you know.
Sure.
My wife makes fun of me because I always have music going most of the time at the house, you know. You know, if I'm going to wash dishes, I'm going to have some music playing.
Right.
And, you know, to kind of take up the difference of, because dishes are boring. Did you know that?
I think. Sure. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so I'm going to be playing some music, or if I'm doing anything around the house, I got music playing, because that's what I do. If I'm driving in the car, I'm usually listening to music. Or lately, I've been listening to audiobooks a lot. But something is going. That just that me and nothing else, you know, that quiet. And I believe that sometimes the noise, the busyness around us, distractions from TV or radio, or even good stations, even, you know, good radio stations, Christian music, it can still be a distraction from the peace and quiet that God wants us to experience at times, you know, in our life. And I can't think of this, what we're talking about, without thinking about one of my favorite songs is The Heart of Worship by Matt Redman.
Sure.
And the story that Matt Redman tells about this is that that he and the pastor and other team ministry team leaders maybe were talking about, that the worship, even though it was good, you know, because Matt Redman's a good musician and Absolutely. His team, I'm sure, was good. But, you know, the worship, there was something missing. You know, they were missing God. And I'm sure he would tell the story much better. But the synopsis that I'm telling is the pastor decided, we're just not going to have music at all for a period of time. In the worship, you know, just not going to have it. And I don't know how long that lasted, but I believe it was weeks, if not more. But in that period of quietness, I'm going to say, in worship, where they had no music at all, that's when Matt Redman wrote the song, The Heart of Worship. Mm-hmm. And the lyrics talk about, I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
It's all about you.
It's all about you. And he says in one of the verses, I'm sorry, Lord, for the way I've made it.
For the things I've done.
And so, you know, I can't think of what we're talking about without that coming to mind.
Sure.
Because I believe that sometimes, even though it's good music, and it's music that I believe honors God.
Right.
But as Solomon says, there's a time and a place for everything. And sometimes God wants us to be quiet. And that's hard for us because, you know, in our society, we got TV blaring, we've got radio blaring.
There's so many different medias coming at us just at a unbelievable pace. Even in just the last, we're saying 5 or 10 years, forget about when we were kids growing up. We're talking the last decade. In fact, this is kind of funny or ironic, but I don't know if you've seen Rob Bell. He does NOMAs, you know, and they did one on noise, and he's talking about the amount of time that it took this time-lapse photographer to get certain sceneries, you know, that they use for different things.
Right.
How many hours, like in 1969, it took like 20 hours of videoing to get this scenery without an airplane in it and whatever. Mm-hmm. And now that has the number. It's like not even, there's no comparison. Mm-hmm. It takes them days and days, not hours, literally that amount of days to do recording, to get, picturesque scenery without any airplanes or sound in it.
Yeah.
That is it's becoming so difficult. It's virtually impossible without a lot of special equipment.
Right.
And effects. So it's
interesting.
That tells us how much the noise level, I would even think you could use the term safely now, noise pollution.
Yeah.
Would be appropriate.
Yeah, I've heard some noise pollution, no doubt.
Right.
So that's fascinating, and I think I think it's a testimony to what we are up against. And you think when you were talking about that, I had this image or this thought that just makes me chuckle when I think about it. Some like the radio, everything is being bombarded. You know, they're talking faster on the radios.
Right.
You know. And a lot of times at the end of these advertising segments, they're trying to get in this long thing. So there's what I'm talking about. You've heard it. The speech, trying to get this little, you know, this little statement in at the end of an advertisement.
Sure.
And, you know, I can't even do it. So I'm not even going to try. But, you know, it's like they digitally speed it up. I think they have to. But our ear still hears it, you know. We still make it out now, maybe not as good as we would normally.
Right.
And I think that's what our society is going to. And visually, you know, of course, I know we're not talking about visually or pictures today, but it's like that rapid, you know, things are just coming fast. And I think that the sounds are there too for us.
Sure.
And our kids are growing up with that bombardment, constant bombardment, from good sources and from bad sources.
Sure.
And it's hard to figure those out. So I think the bottom line for me is that the quiet is hard for me. And I think it is harder for some people. My wife can work around the house and never turn the radio on all day long. She can be the whole Saturday or whatever, just working around the house and never have any noise. No TVs, no nothing. And I'm thinking, I don't understand that. It doesn't even make sense to me, you know, because I'm a audio kind of person.
Sure.
So everybody's different. But I think one thing is consistent with all of us, that the quiet also, I think, alludes to peace.
Sure.
You know, one of my favorite verses is Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God."
Sure.
Because I think so many times that I'm not still.
Right.
And it's hard to know who God is in that moment, you know.
Right.
When I'm being distracted, when I'm being pulled this way or that way.
Sure.
And so I think that there is some truth to what we're talking about, that we need to be quiet at times. And the other side of that, not only in the quiet, but in the stillness, it's hard for us to squeeze in our devotion time, I think, sometimes, because we're so busy with life. And so I think that's the other side of that coin, the quiet and the stillness, you know, because we're not able to devote the time God deserves.
Well, and there's so many things, there's so many competing factors, you know, and with all of the competition, you know, the quietness and the rest gets drowned out by all of the distractions that are competing for, you know, that quietness and rest. And so I just think that sometimes it becomes overwhelming, you know, the amount of distractions now, of course, as we've well covered, that are flooding in, you know, to create almost a diversion from being able to experience or have, you know, quiet time and rest and peace. And in a sense, I don't know that that's by mistake, you know. I think that the age that we live in, you know, and that certainly, you know, this is not about spiritual warfare, but, you know, there is a darkness and a light, and there is a deceiver of the brethren and an enemy that is a foe. And I think that a lot of the distractions and distractibility is by design. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that here we are at a mistake and that the distraction is at this heightened level that we live in now. I think it's by design to create a total diversion, even among Christians where we move away. You know, there used to be a time, Tim, as you probably well know, when 100 years ago, pastors would go on a pilgrimage, or they would take a respite, or for the lack of the right word that I'm trying to
sabbatical.
Sabbatical. Thank you. Pastors would be going these sabbaticals. They'd be 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 30 days, they would just go beside a creek where there was nobody. And in that sabbatical time, they would practice these scriptures, and they would practice this, creating this platform of quietness and rest. And in that 30 days, they would be rejuvenated and refreshed, and they would hear from God and then come back and be able to be recharged. And I just think that there's such a need for that. And I mean, obviously not 30 days. That's a youth pastor and associate pastor. That's not going to happen.
Right.
But I mean, I would give anything for a 3-day sabbatical where I could just take my Bible and go into the woods and be by myself for that, you know, time of refreshment. You know, I think I long for that. And you mentioned it earlier. You said you were ripe for that and that your summer thing. And, you know, I long for that because you know, with family and friends and pastoring and activities, there's just so many things on our agenda that fill our plate. And if we're not careful, pretty soon, you know, Christ is crowded out and we lose sight of really the whole purpose and plan of you know, what's going on in our life and what God is wanting to do,
yeah,
is begins to just take a back seat, I think. I'm afraid.
Yeah. I think that one of the positive things that came out of that experience with me was that I can't remember if I had already found the book, but I don't think I read it till after. That was, you know, like I said, that was quite a few years ago, about 14 or 15 years ago. But the book, A Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, I read sometime around that time. I believe it was right after that, because I really started getting into trying to seek the face of God through some of these disciplines, like silence,
sure,
and meditation, and, you know, Bible study and prayer, whatever. Now, some of the disciplines that he talks about in there, I didn't ever practice. But it was fascinating to read some of what he said, and it was an excellent book. But I think one of the things is that practicing silence on an ongoing basis, to devote my life more to God in those moments, and hear from God in those moments, has been something that over the years I have done well at times,
okay,
and then a lot of times I've not done well.
Sure.
And I think it's interesting that we're talking about this, and I really didn't make the connection until just now, but I've been kind of hearing God's voice in my head that I need to be more devoted than I have been recently, you know, spend more time in Bible study and prayer. And I used to write in my journal every day, prayers, you know, whatever, Bible verses that I'd read and comments about what was going on in my life.
Right.
And I haven't done that on a daily basis in several years now. And I know that that's something God wanted me to do.
Mm.
And so why did I quit? You know, it was the busyness of the world, the distractions.
Sure.
You know, the time that it's easy for me to say that I don't have the time to do that anymore. And I've said that many times. But the truth is, I could find the time somehow if I was
right,
really committed and dedicated to doing that.
And the strength that comes out of that.
Oh, it's...
You know, that's what these verses are talking about, in this
right,
quietness. And when we really... It says trust, too, in NIV, right? It says
yeah,
quietness and trust is your strength.
Yeah.
And so in those quiet times and times that you're there meditating on God's Word, journaling some prayers...
Mm-hmm.
You're exercising trust in God, even though, man, there's busy things, there's things that we have to do, there's
mm-hmm,
all these things that jockey for our time and attention.
Right.
But, you know, it seems like to me, what I hear you saying is, and the verse is talking to us about both, is that when we begin to prioritize quietness and we exercise
mm-hmm,
trust in God by doing these things, out of that flows... this strength or this confidence, as the other translation read, you know, I like to call it Christ confidence, but you know, this God confidence, this,
yeah,
and I think, wow, you know, and we miss that so easily,
mm-hmm,
you know, like you say, and we think, well, I just have all these things to do today that are important. And, you know, at the point we miss our source of real life and strength for the day, strength for the
right,
things that we have to do. But I mean, I say for the day. Now, I'm not a day morning person. You know, I'm somebody that's going to probably stay up late
mm-hmm,
and devote time after the kids are
mm-hmm,
going to bed and everything. That's the prime time for me, because it seems like, you know, the TV's off, the kids are tucked in, everything's winding down.
Right.
And that's probably the optimal time for my house to be
mm-hmm,
quiet
mm-hmm,
enough for me to have such an experience.
Right.
You know, so I kind of try to do that in the evening.
When I've been more successful with this in my life has been whenever I got up early and did it.
Right.
But, you know... it's a lot of effort.
Sure.
I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And go walk for a mile around the church when I was pastoring.
Right.
And then come back in and exercise, and then spend like 2 hours in devotions, sure, prayer, Bible study. And, you know, as a pastor, I was able to do all that and be done with all that by, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, sure, in the morning, and be still have all day long,
right,
you know, to visit and whatever,
sure,
you know. And I was committed to that. I'm not, and I'm just being honest, I'm not committed to that like I should be,
right,
anymore.
Right.
Now, I say that with conviction in my heart, knowing that I should be more committed to,
sure,
that. And so it's not a pride thing,
right,
saying that I'm not committed, but it's more of a sense of failure, knowing that that's what I could be doing better, is what I'm saying.
Sure, I understand. But I think we all, everybody, if we're in the human family,
sure,
and Christian or not, you know, we struggle with, man, where am I at in my relationship with God? And people who are serving Him and following Him struggle with, you know, am I where I really need to be? Is this, you know, and so there's this real sense of wrestling that goes on with trying to find this balance of,
yeah,
you know, time with family, devotion, relationships. There's so many things going on. One of the things that I've kind of discovered is, you know, throughout the day, you know, grabbing respites. And I'm going to start incorporating, trying to find creative ways to incorporate this quietness and rest. Mm-hmm. But in the other times, what I would do is I would pop a pill real quick, a gospel pill, you know. I have this little small Bible that goes in the car in the Jeep, mm-hmm, with me,
yeah,
and I call it popping a pill. You know, I'll grab it, you know, if I'm at a stop, you know, I'm getting ready, mm-hmm, to go into lunch, you know, we're on the go all the time. I'll open it, and maybe I'm somewhere, or sometimes I might just let it open and begin to just read two or three verses,
yeah,
and grab something, you know, there. Or I'm somewhere else and I'm waiting and I'll open the Bible, or I might just begin to pray. Or sometimes, and I do this all day throughout the day, you know, if I find myself in between things, I might just begin to sing a song that whatever, mm-hmm, spontaneously. You wouldn't want to be with me when I sing the songs. That's something that's just unto the Lord.
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't play any instrument, you know that, except the radio, and I play it well. I turn it on and,
yeah,
up, and that's about it. That's the extent of my musical capability. But, you know, I do enjoy sing, like you were talking about, singing unto the Lord. But I think this is an aspect that, you know, could be brought into both aspects. When I try to stay up late or in the evening time, having some reading time or quiet time, and then throughout the day when I do my little pill popping sessions and a goss pill, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I
goss pill.
Yeah.
So I share that with my teens. You know, as a youth pastor, you have to try to come up with these creative,
yeah,
ways to get them involved. But that's something I want to incorporate, I think, as well. Just trying to,
yeah,
still.
And I've done a lot of that too. Carry a Bible with me and read, or one of the things that I used to do, I haven't done it in a while, is write Bible verses on index cards and carry it in my shirt pocket and,
sure,
throughout the day, you know, pull it out and do that as a way to meditate on that Bible verse, because,
definitely,
there, it's amazing, you know, you can read a verse and think you're done with it. Because, you know, I understand all those words. I understand the concept. I understand it.
But it's not done with you.
It's not done with you. That's a good way to put it. And so I have learned over the years that you can really pull that apart and see how it applies to you. You know, I start that with asking a bunch of questions. You know, what does it mean in my life if I really was quiet, or if I really was trusting God? You know, the verse that we were talking about, you know, how would that look? What would it look like if I was quiet on a regular basis, and how, what would happen in that situation? What potential would God have to work in my life if I was doing this? Mm-hmm. What would have to change in my life? And as you know, you, and that's definitely, just, you know, you bring up all those questions and think about them. And I heard a preacher one time say that it's like he said that the word, the Hebrew word for meditation, and I've not been able to find this to verify this, so I don't know, but he said, and I like the idea, so I'm going to say it anyway, that the Hebrew word for meditation was a word picture of a cow chewing its cud. And you know how a cow chews its cud. It grass doesn't digest very well.
Right.
It's resistant to digestion. And so a cow would chew on it a while and swallow it, and then later regurgitate it and chew some more and swallow. And I don't know how many times the cud's going to get that, you know, cycle.
But it's certainly a process.
It's a process. And I think that's what I would try to practice throughout the day with this Bible verse that I'd write on the card, and try to chew on it throughout the day and meditate and think about it from all points of view, you know. What would it look like if other people saw me being quiet before the Lord? What would they see? What would they think, you know, or whatever? Or, you know, just from try to approach it from every point of view so that you get every piece of nutritional value out of that cud for the day, you know, the Bible cud.
That's great.
So that's something I've tried to do, and the index cards, just convenient way to do it.
Definitely.
But carrying a Bible, I always would carry a Bible, and if I was going to a doctor's appointment, you know, you got 10-15 minutes, you're sitting there waiting in the waiting room.
Right.
10-15 minutes, that's positive thinking, because sometimes it's longer than that.
That's optimistic.
And it's a good time to do some of that. I want to share a verse I found while we were looking for that other verse. This Proverbs 17, verse 1 says, "Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." And, of course, it's not exactly what we've been talking about, but I think it's a practical way of looking at that. You know, sometimes it's better to be wanting in other parts of your life, like the busyness. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
I've got friends that their kids that are the same age as my daughter, they're running every day of the week, multiple directions, to take their kids to this after school activity and this after school and there, and, you know, to church on this day, and which I think that we do need some of that. But I think sometimes we end up doing so much that we end up not doing the things that we really need to do. You know, when do you squeeze in family devotion time?
Sure.
When you're busy running around all over creation.
Right.
And so that, I think that's just an example. And so when I saw this verse, I thought, you know, it's better to have peace and quiet than to have feasting with strife. And sometimes I think we stir up strife in our own lives. We certainly add a lot of stress and anxiety by having to be places. For example, the other day I was at a fast food place getting something at the drive-thru, and just as soon as the person handed me my food, I'd already paid and everything, but just as soon as the food was in my hands, you know, I had not even had time to really get a hold of it yet, the guy behind me starts laying on his horn, and I'm like, goodness gracious, you can't even wait for me to take this food and put it on the passenger seat so I can move out of the way.
Goodness.
I'm like, and he's laying on his horn. I'm thinking, something is wrong with our society when we are so in such a rush to be everywhere and do everything, and And
it's a delusion, though. I think sitting here listening to you and reminiscing about our visit today, it's a delusion.
Yeah.
And we have just become drunk, if I could use that term, with this delusion. We have to do all of this to have a really quality life, when really what I hear you saying is rushing around, doing all these things, having to squeeze all this in today, the kids here, soccer there, whatever. It's as if we're sacrificing, quality of life on the altar of quantity of life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And really, by doing all of those things and spreading yourself thin, you may be getting a lot of quantity and checking a lot of boxes, but where's the quality in all of that? You know, I think it's a huge, I think it's a huge sacrifice. And today's message really resonates with my heart that, man, you know, sometimes we need to step back and reevaluate things and take seriously the fact that we need quietness and rest. We were made for that.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that needs to fit into our lives.
And I think exactly with, from the spiritual point of view, we sacrifice quality relationship with God for maybe not quantity of relationship with God opportunities, but for all the distraction and the business around us, you know, we sacrifice the quality of a relationship. God wants an intimate relationship with us. And when we're so busy that we can't even talk to him.
Right.
Or devote a little bit of quiet time.
Right. Or when we do talk to him, it's like a friend showing up at your doorstep. It would be like if I, TJ, showed up at Tim's door, and every time I came to your house, I had this long list of groceries. Mm-hmm. And I said, Tim, could you please go get these for me?
Yeah.
It's not going to take very many times until you're going to be like, well, TJ, you're really not my friend.
Right.
But however, in our prayer life and in our devotional life, sometimes when we come to God, it's like, you know, bam, we just fire off this long list of blessed Johnnies and, you know, all these things, and it becomes like a laundry list or a grocery list that we just ramble off to God, and that's the extent of our relationship. And that's not the intimacy that you're talking about. That's like me showing up at your door, and instead of coming to just visit and for friendship, I have a list every time, or I need something every time.
Right, yeah. And I don't show up, without the list.
Right.
If I don't have a list of things, then I'm not going to come. You know, I wonder where Tim is. He was supposed to be here today at 3. And if I come to find out, well, I didn't have a list of things that I needed from you or wanted from you.
Right.
Well, let me say, I know we've got to head out, but I think this has been a good discussion for me anyway, because I need to hear the message that I can return to the things that I've done in the past and renew the relationship with God.
Definitely.
Sometimes it's hard for me because when it's just that laundry list of things, we end up it becomes hard. You know, you feel like a hypocrite sometimes when you end up, that's all you're doing. You're going to God and asking for, you know, the same thing you asked for yesterday, and which was the same thing you asked for the day before, and, you know, or, you know, the same things, saying the same things over and over again. You start to feel like, how intimate is this? How real is this?
Right. You get trapped and just as if you feel as if you're just going through the motions.
Right.
Rather than, you know, having something that is real or genuine. I think a lot of us can relate and went through that a time or two where we feel like, man, I'm just like a wheel rolling here, just going through the motions.
And the other part of that is that I have had times of rich intimacy with God, and then and so you notice when you don't have it, you know, when you get used to that, it's easy to tell when you don't have it.
Definitely.
So So, well, I'm going to go spend some time with God.
Absolutely.
So, good discussion. You've been listening to a message brought to you by LiveToHonorGod.com.